After talking down expectations over the weekend, Prime Minister Tony Abbott looks set to secure a substantial free trade deal with China today. Reports this morning claim that last-minute breakthroughs could see Chinese tariffs fall quicker and markets open wider to Australian farmers and professionals than previously expected. The deal is due to be signed after the Chinese President Xi Jinping delivers an historic address to the Federal Parliament today. Tim Harcourt is an author and trade expert and an economics professor at the University of New South Wales. He's speaking with our business editor, Cheryl Bagwell.
Tim Harcourt, welcome back to RN Breakfast.
Good on you, Cheryl. Nice to be with you.
Even though we haven't seen the details yet, this deal is already being hailed as ambitious and unprecedented. But what sort of access will it have to provide to Australian exporters for you to call it a success?
I think it's probably the biggest economic diplomacy deal with China since Gough Whitlam went to Peking, as it then was in 1971. So it is a big story in our dealings with China. There's 15,000 Australian companies that either export to China directly or through Hong Kong, and another 3,000 based there. So it's going to open up pretty significant market access for them, Cheryl.
Well, it looks like the deal is set to eliminate tariffs on more than 90% of Australian exports over the next 4 years. How big a boost do you think this will actually deliver to the Australian economy, given that most Australian resource exports to China, like iron ore, don't attract tariffs at the moment?
This will allow us to move from the mining boom to the dining boom. The big story in China now, and particularly in Asia, is agricultural exports. China wants food security as well as energy security with our resources. So this is going to be the crop side of rocks and crops that make up most of our primary industry exports to China.
Indeed, most of the focus has been on agriculture, hasn't it? The big winners look set, if the reports are correct, to be our dairy farmers, our wine growers and horticultural producers. But left out of this deal will be sugar and rice growers. Was that to be expected?
I think rice, certainly, because it's so sensitive. Sugar was left out of the US FTA as well, that Mark Vaile and John Howard negotiated with the Bush administration, so sugar's probably been affected once again. I think the main thing is that Australia can't feed China. China can't feed itself, but a combination of the two and lifting Chinese agricultural capacity. Whenever I'm in China, I meet dairy farmer technology exporters that are helping China build its own sector up as well. So I think the combination of the two will be important, particularly in those rural areas.
And the big winners too, if the leaks are correct, will be Australian professionals. They're talking about Australian health and aged care providers being able to operate directly in China, tourism firms being able to build hotels, etc. I mean, how big a deal is this? I mean, how closed is China at the moment to professional services?
Well, it's a big deal with areas like professional architects. When I was in Chengdu with the AGSM MBA course that I teach doing business in China, you meet a number of Australian architects that are building the Great Mall of China, all the shopping malls and so on. There's a Brisbane architect, Place Design, who's moved his whole company from Brisbane to Chengdu because everyone who's got, you know, wants an Italian Renaissance landscape garden in Brisbane's got one, but the growing middle class in China want that. So now these companies can operate directly in China, and with an ageing population and a growing middle class, healthcare and education will be real big winners out of this trade deal.
But you say they're already there. What restrictions are they faced with at the moment?
A lot of internal regulation that occurs. I mean, China's still very much an economy by fiat, the way the Communist Party controls the economy. So you need the government badge on your side most of the time to negotiate directly with the Chinese government. And now some of those regulations will be gone, and in many cases Australia's getting a bit of a free kick ahead of other foreign competitors that are also in China now.
These deals, of course, are always about compromise. Manufacturers, Australian manufacturers and unions are worried about what Australia is giving up in return. Tariffs on 95% of Chinese goods coming into Australia look set to be phased out over 4 years as well. Will that give Australian manufacturers enough time to adjust, because the Australian industry group is concerned?
I think a lot of the tariff reductions and restructuring took place in Australian manufacturing under the Hawke-Keating government. So a lot of tariffs, the bulk of the large tariff reductions happened then. 75% of exporters from the manufacturing sector in Australia also import. So I think there'll be some actual gains there from the free trade agreement. And as I travel around China, you know, you meet BlueScope in Shanghai, Ream in Chengdu. A lot of them have actually been able to grow employment in both countries, in China and Australia, because part of their production has been within China and part of it's been within Australia. So there's probably actually some gains to be made, but yeah, some uncompetitive parts of the Australian economy, including manufacturing, will find it pretty tough, as they have done for the past 25 years.
And the other big hot-button issue is Chinese labour. The Chinese would seem to want to be able to import their own workers on projects they invest in. The Abbott government says these workers would be employed on Australian wages and conditions, but there is a concern that these jobs won't be advertised to see if local workers could fill them first. Now, that's rather unprecedented for the Australian labour market, but it's not an unusual demand, I understand, from the Chinese side.
Yeah, no, I was in Mongolia, and you know, China take their own workers into Mongolia to build those projects there. So it's not unusual around the region. I think it's going to be pretty limited. I mean, principally, you know, China wants to build jobs for Chinese workers within China. So they'll be looking for Australian professional companies to be based in China and employ their Chinese professionals and technical workers there. I don't think they're going to use Australia much as an alternative labour market. I think that'll be pretty limited.
Just finally and briefly, Australia does look, well, if the reports are correct, look set to maintain full scrutiny over investments in Australia by Chinese state-owned enterprises. Is that a good outcome in your view?
I think we should, you know, be careful about international investment, obviously where state-owned enterprises are involved, but principally, we've treated China no differently than any other foreign investor, and in many cases, Chinese investment has actually saved a lot of important industrial projects in Australia. But at the end of the day, you've got your sovereignty and your national interest that comes first, and I think China understands that, and every nation should do that.
We'll leave it there. Thanks very much.
Great. Thanks, Cheryl.
Tim Harcourt, economics professor at the University of New South Wales and a former chief of economists with Austrade, author of a new book on trade called Trading Places, speaking with our business editor, Cheryl Bagwell.